Hi everyone and Shavuot Tov. Today's parak of Rambam was the third parak of Hilchot Shvi'isat Asur, which is the third chapter of the Halachos dealing with Yom Kippur. It's also the final chapter in this short section. And tomorrow, Meir Tashem, will be picking up with Hilchot Yom Tov. Now, in this parak, the Rambam will discuss the topic of the other prohibitions on Yom Kippur, aside from eating and drinking, such as washing one's body, anointing one's body, etc., and their parameters. Halacha Aleph. Asher lirchot b'yom ha-kippur, bein v'cham and bein mitzonin. It is forbidden for a person to bathe on Yom Kippur, whether in hot water or in cold water, bein kol gufo, bein eiver echad, afilu etzba ketana asher, lo shita b'mayim. Whether we're dealing with your whole body, or even just a single limb, even your little pinky is forbidden to stick into water. V'amelech v'akala ruchat z'nes b'nehem. However, there are two exceptions. A king and a bride, a newly married woman, are allowed to wash their faces. Kala Kadesh Lotiskan El Baila, the new bride, in order so that she not become unattractive to her husband. Vamelach Kadesh Yirai Biafio, and the king, in order so that he be seen by everyone in his grandeur, in his beauty. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Melach Biafio Techazana Einecha. Vad Kama Nikres Kala, and now how long does a woman who just got married count as a Kala in this sense? Ad Shloshim Yom, for 30 days after the wedding. Halacha Beis. If somebody had something disgusting on them, like they had feces or plaster on them, he's able to rinse off the place where it got dirty, just like in his regular fashion, and he doesn't have to worry about the fact that this might count as bathing. And similarly, a woman's allowed to wash her hand with water and then thereby hand bread to a child in order so that her hand not either have some sort of impurity on it, or so that it not be dirty, and thereby hand it to her child. And somebody who's sick, even if it's not life-threatening in any which way, he's also allowed to rinse himself, wash himself in the regular fashion. And similarly, anybody who's obligated to go to the mikvah can immerse in the mikvah in the regular fashion, whether we're dealing with on Tishbav, whether we're dealing with on Yom Kippur, you are allowed to. Halacha Gimel. If somebody had a seminal emission nowadays on the day of Yom Kippur, if it's still moist on his skin, he can simply wipe it off with a cloth and that's sufficient. If it is, however, dried or it became all over him and it's rather filthy, so in that case, he can wash the places which are themselves dirty, and only those places, and then he's able to daven. And the reason for this is because it's forbidden to daven while one has any traces of semen on their body. However, it's forbidden for him to wash his whole body or to immerse in a mikvah. And the reason why one's not allowed to immerse in the mikvah is because nowadays, when he goes to the mikvah, either way, he remains actually tamei, because he's tamei meis. So going to the mikvah doesn't remove his status of impurity. And the idea of going to the mikvah before praying, after one had a seminal emission, is something which is only a minhag, it's a custom, and a custom cannot enable somebody to do something which is more lenient than the actual halacha. It can make somebody do something which is more stringent than the actual halacha, but it can't allow a leniency. Below Amru Shahroa Kari Bioma Gipurum Tobel Elika Shetiknu Tvila Labali Kriyan. Ukvar Bianu Shepalatakanazu. And if one might say, oh Tom, we have earlier sources which indicate that a person who had seen a seminal emission on Yom Kippur is supposed to immerse in the mikvah, the Rambam explains that was only back when there had been a formal rabbinic decree that a person who had had a seminal emission must immerse in the mikvah. But as the Rambam has explained elsewhere in Mishnah Torah, that decree was nullified. It's no longer binding, and therefore anybody who goes to the mikvah before praying after having a seminal emission is only doing so as a custom, and therefore cannot create a leniency for him on Yom Kippur. Halacha Dalet. Tichu lach bioser, kadesha niach adam yado alav, vitale balach luchas, sheim hidbik osel yado acheres, tidbak alach luchas. Aser leishib love. It is forbidden for a person to sit on mud, which is so wet, so moist, that if he were to place one hand on it, and then pick that hand up and touch his other hand with it, then that would impart moisture to that second hand, so thereby it would be considered so liquidy that this is like he was rinsing his body, so it's forbidden for a person to sit on such wet mud. It's forbidden also for a person to fill an earthenware vessel with water and thereby cool himself off by pressing that vessel against his body, because the water will seep through the walls, you know, like in a good Coke commercial where the outside is moist from the water inside. Afilu kli matachos aser. Shema yu not zumayim avasaro. It's even forbidden if we're dealing with a metal kli, which isn't as porous, because the fact that we're nervous still that the water will be sprinkled onto his body. However, it is permitted for a person to take fruit, which are cool, and hold them against his body in order to cool off on a hot day. So this is the day before air conditioning of any sort. So when a person wants to cool off, he might do the following, and it's permitted on Yom Kippur. For a person to take on Erev Yom Kippur, a wet cloth, really soak it with water, and then afterwards dry it a little bit, you know, you wring it dry a bit, and then place it in an insulated fashion under various garments, so that way it will stay insulated and will remain cool. And then the next day on Yom Kippur, assuming it's not so wet that we saw in the previous halacha, it would impart moisture if you touched it to one hand and then to the other hand. So if it's just somewhat moist, less than that amount, and is cool, he's allowed to use this by placing it on his face to cool off on Yom Kippur. Halacha Vav. Ha'holich l'chach bil p'nei rabo, o p'nei aviv, o mishu gadol menu b'chachma, o l'kros b'yis ha-medrash. If a person is going out to greet his Rebbe, or his father, or somebody who's just more knowledgeable than he is, or to go and learn Torah in a base medrash, over b'mayim ad savaro, v'eino choshesh, v'osem mitzvah shahalach lasosa, v'choz remayim m'komo. This individual is allowed to go to do the mitzvah that was just described, even if he has to pass through water that's up to his neck. He doesn't have to be concerned about that. And he can do the mitzvah, and then he can even come back to the same place where he had started from, even though that means passing through the water again. Shem lo tatu lo lachzor, because if you don't allow him to go back, the Rambam teaches us, ain't a holich, then he might not go there in the first place. And then it will turn out that he stumbled, he missed out from doing this mitzvah. And similarly, though this is not for a mitzvah, but for somebody to protect their wealth, so if somebody's going out to the fields to guard his produce, over he's also allowed to pass through water up to his neck, and he doesn't have to be concerned. However, he has to have some sort of distinction between the way he would do so on a regular mundane day, in order so that he remembers not to treat this day lightly, and perhaps come to sin. So he has to have his hands not fully out from under his garments in the way he would have normally on a weekday. Halacha Zayin. Turning to the next prohibition on Yom Kippur, Ashlino minol v'sandal afilu b'rago achas. It's forbidden for a person to wear leather shoes or sandals of any sort on his feet, even on a single foot on Yom Kippur. Umutra letzeis b'sandal shalsham shall get me a few of him. However, you are allowed to go out wearing a different type of sandal. If it's not made from leather, it's something made from various types of rubbery plants. So those are permitted. V'korich adam beget al raglav v'yotzei bo shaharei k'shiha aref magil raglav u'margishu yachiv. And a person is also allowed to take garments and wrap them around his feet in order to protect them from the ground, because he'll still feel the hardness of the earth beneath those cloths, those sock-like objects, and therefore he'll feel as if he's barefoot and he'll have that same experience. Hatinokos aval pishein mutarim b'achilu b'shtia rechitza v'sicha. With regard to children, minors, even though they're permitted to eat and drink, and they're allowed to rinse themselves and anoint themselves, we still withhold them from wearing shoes. And the basic understanding for this is because of the fact that there is no danger whatsoever posed to the children by walking around barefoot. In fact, oftentimes children go around barefoot. Lachaches. Mutar l'chol adam linol es sandal machmas akrav ukiotipa kedei shalotish. A person's allowed to put on shoes, if necessary, in order to protect himself from getting bitten from a scorpion or the like. And a woman who's recently given birth is also allowed to wear shoes within 30 days of having given birth, because we're afraid that she might otherwise get chilled, cooled off in some fashion, which would be unhealthy. And similarly, somebody who's ill, somebody who's sick, so they're also allowed to wear shoes, even though it might not be life-threatening. It's forbidden for a person to anoint his whole body or even part of his body on Yom Kippur, whether this anointing is something which is done for pleasure or whether it's something which is not for pleasure per se. And if he was a sick person, even though he doesn't have any life-threatening concerns, or somebody has various scratches, wounds on his head that he needs to anoint them, he's able to anoint himself in the regular fashion and he doesn't have to be concerned. halacha yud, the final halacha in the parak, as well as in the section. Yesh b'komo shenagu lahalik as a ner b'lidi yom kippurim, k'dei shiya lo boshes panim me'ishto v'lo yavol lidei tashmish shemita. Turning to the final prohibition of Yom Kippur not having marital relations, so there are some places the Rambam teaches us that have the custom to light a candle specifically on Erev Yom Kippur, leading into Yom Kippur, in order so that the person would be too ashamed to have relations with his wife in that context, and therefore you don't have to be concerned they might have relations. V'yesh makom ha'shenagu shelo lahalik. However, there were places which had the opposite minhag, though aiming for the same effect. Their custom was not to light candles. Shemi yira ishto, because maybe he'll see his wife, Atisa chen be'inav, and she'll be attractive to him. V'yavol lidei tashmish, he might, Rachman al-Latzlan, come to sin in this fashion. V'im chol yom ha'kippurim lios b'shabbos. However, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, chayav en ha'kol lahalik b'chol makom. Then, in that case, a person is obligated to light a candle on Erev Yom Kippur leading into Yom Kippur slash Shabbos, no matter what place you're in, Shadlakas Ner B'Shabbos Chol. Because on the night of Friday night, there's an obligation to light a Shabbos candle, and that will take precedence over one's minhag. That concludes this fascinating section on the halachos of Yom Kippur. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, will begin Hilchos Yantif. Have a wonderful day, and Shavua Tov.